All right, everybody here, all the stations on the line. Philadelphia, you're sure there isn't a click-and-clack drive to the Holy Land special you want to be running right about now? I'll give you just a little time to preempt retroactively. Re-empt. That would be, wouldn't it? It would be. Re-empt. That would be a balm for the spirit. B-A-L-M, ladies and gentlemen. Don't get excited. So, as my friend Chris here observed, it is the shoes, after all, as Spike Lee always said. So why don't we just run the country barefoot? I know it's wintertime, but, you know, thick furry socks should do. Just run, just declare the United States a shoe-free zone. Just be barefoot. It'd be so hip. The recount. Well, first of all, a story before we get to that. Last week, ladies and gentlemen, I was in the United Kingdom. Yeah, I'm brave enough to fly. Sure. With shoes. I was in the United Kingdom. I was in London at the British Comedy Awards because I just wanted to see a room full of comedians and be the only Jew there. You know, just at the... And everybody at the British Comedy, in the studio, forget about the party, in the studio, on the air, while the show is airing live, is smoking cigarettes. These are the most nervous bunch of comedians I've ever seen, puffing away like crazy. They and their thin girlfriends, smoking in the audience, smoking at the pre-party, smoking at the post-party. And then I ride in the elevator down from all of that and read on the back wall of the elevator, this is a non-smoking building. So it's a country of laws. But we here in the United States have the latest update. It is now the official death toll in the World Trade Center disaster has fallen beneath 3,000. And you know that this recount comes up every week. Finally, however, New York City officials, tired of the continuing recounts and tired of the lack of certainty, have solved the problem. They've sent for Florida Secretary of State Katherine Harris, who's come up to New York and announced after a couple days that the official count, final official count is 2,975, and George Bush still won. Hello, welcome to the show.
Well, the rain falls down without my help. I'm afraid and my lawn gets wet, though I've withheld my consent. When this gray world crumbles like a cake, I'll be hanging from the hoop that I'll never see that recipe again. As I walk, I think about a new way to walk. As I think, I'm using up the time left to think. And this train keeps rolling off the track, trying to act like something else, trying to go where it's been uninvited. It's not my birthday, it's not today, it's not my birthday, so why do you lunge out of me? When the word comes down, nevermore will be around. Though I wish we were there, I was less than we could bear, and I'm not the only dust my mother raised. So I'm rattling the bars around this drink tank. Discreetly I should pour through the keyhole or evaporate completely. But there'd be no percentage and there'd be no proof. And the sound upon the roof is only water. And the rain falls down without my help, I'm afraid. And my lawn is wet, though I've withheld my consent. When this gray world crumbles like a cake, I'll be hanging from the hoop that I'll never see that recipe again. It's not my birthday, it's not today.
Time to do your Christmas shopping. These are the people who shop in time, plenty of time. These are the people with time to spare who shop at their convenience. 12 days to Christmas, 12 days to Christmas. Look at the way they do their Christmas shopping. They can go shopping and still remain calm and sedate. These are the people we envy and the people that we hate. And they have their names printed on their cards.
In June.
Thank you, we'll call again, we'll call again. Thank you.
Christmas, still enough time to do your Christmas shopping. These are the people who shop in time, still enough time. Sensible people who organize the time at their disposal. 9 days to Christmas, 9 days to Christmas, still enough time to do your Christmas shopping. These are the people who plan their days wisely and well. These are the people who shop in time and they can go to hell.
And they mail their packages out in time,
in August.
Thank you, we'll call again, we'll call again, thank you.
Just enough time to do your Christmas shopping. These are the people who shop in time, just in time, barely in time. These are the people who calculate with clinical precision. 4 days to Christmas, 4 days to Christmas. These are the folks who never waste a second. Full of a chilly efficiency, loaded with gall. Never too early and never late, and they're the worst of all.
And their cards arrive on the 24th.
24th!
Thank you, we'll call again, thank you!
1 day to Christmas, 1 day to Christmas, not enough time to do our Christmas shopping. We're not the shop who peeped in time, we're not the sheep who popped in time. We're not the people who shopped in time, not enough time. We are the people who always wait until it's much too late. Ho! 1 day to Christmas, 1 day to Christmas. How we ever do our Christmas shopping? Why do we ever delay so long? Who can recall? Some of the family may not get a Christmas gift at all.
Thank you, we'll call again, thank you. Merry Christmas!
Once a child and now a mother, Christmas came with all its glee. Tinsel topped and crystal covered, she knelt to dress the dancing tree. Gone were all her thoughts revealing, gone was all the drudgery, all the worries she'd been weaving as she knelt to dress the dancing tree. And she thought of the time when she was just a child, and she helped her mother dress the tree. And she thought with a smile, her words seemed so wise. She said, you long for days like these. Through her dreams, her sentimenting, in the sounds of her sweet son, full of life's unrepenting. And as her family came. She said, little soldier, when you're older, you'll love a girl like me. Kiss her, hold her, remember I told you, dance around the dancing tree.
Kwanzaa!
From all of us at the Michael Richards Show.
Hi, thank you, Michael, for getting the gang together a year after the show was canceled and for the Kwanzaa greeting, which, I don't know, is it early for Kwanzaa or is it late? From the edge of America, from the home of the homeless, I'm Harry Shearer, posing that question to you as I welcome you to another edition of the show. WHYY, you want to reempt now? Because I think the Car Talk guys are driving. Yeah, okay, you got the joke. We're not the home of the homeless, maybe, ladies and gentlemen. Today's New York Times, I believe, reveals that homelessness is on a steep upward curve in most of the cities of the great, sophisticated Northeast. And here, from London, comes this. The British government's Rough Sleepers Unit. That's what they call the part of the government responsible for keeping track of homeless people. They're called rough sleepers. They sleep in the rough, you see. Because we're all rough sleepers, if you get to know us. The government's Rough Sleepers Unit has been accused of fabricating figures by clearing homeless people off the streets on the evening they were due to be counted. Got a surprise for you folks. Indoors tonight. One of Britain's most respected homeless charities is claiming parties were held in hostels and vagrants were bundled into hastily enlarged shelters as part of a concerted effort to keep numbers low. Well, you do what you got to do, don't you? Isn't that what you do? Ladies and gentlemen, it didn't take long to find out that Geraldo Rivera is not necessarily going to be the Ernie Pyle of this war. He, as you know, quit his job as a highly paid talk show host at CNBC to enlist with Fox News. I know it sounds silly to say those two words together. Fox News as a war correspondent. I know the whole sentence. It's the whole sentence fragment. Geraldo Rivera, Fox News war correspondent, made people chuckle. But now, he was hundreds of miles from the site of a friendly fire incident that he reported on, according to the Baltimore Sun. Rivera reported on December 6th that he became emotional and choked up while standing on the hallowed ground, his words, in Afghanistan, where friendly fire took so many of our men and the Mujahideen yesterday. He said at the time that he stood on the hallowed ground, he recited the Lord's Prayer. According to the Baltimore Sun, Rivera later admitted he was several hundred miles from the site outside Kandahar, where three Americans were killed by an errant U.S. bomb. In an interview, Rivera said he had confused the Kandahar deaths with another friendly fire incident that cost several Afghan lives in Tora Bora. But Pentagon information shows the Tora Bora incident occurred at least 3 days after Rivera's report of December 6th. He is also boasted of carrying a gun while in Afghanistan. His Fox News has offered no explanation. Fox News spokesman Rob Zimmerman said he had no information on whether the network was reviewing the incident. On Thursday of this week, Zimmerman told the Baltimore Sun it had a vendetta against the network and hung up the phone. Rivera has also blamed the entire incident on, quote, the fog of war. Yeah, sir, the fog of war. I believe that fog was swirling around Geraldo's cortex long before the war began. But, you know, war makes it worse. But everybody cheats, ladies and gentlemen. Dateline Sacramento, the California Lottery, sold millions of dollars worth of scratch-off tickets even after the game's top prizes had been claimed. A lawsuit coming to trial will seek to end the practice. A lawyer calls it false advertising. Amy Stanley of San Francisco is suing. She says she regularly bought scratcher tickets costing $1, $2, and $3 each, only to learn the grand prizes had already been won. Lottery officials admitted the practice last summer in court, saying 11 scratcher games in the last 5 years have remained active after the grand prizes were awarded. The officials said they were doing nothing wrong. They argued in court documents that state agencies were exempt from false advertising laws. I think we got to give them that one. I think just that claim alone, you got to give them that. What's the funniest country? What is the funniest country in Europe? Oh, you know the answer, don't you? And not because we laugh at them. No, but supposedly because they've got the best sense of humor. Germany. Yes. Germany. The Laugh Lab project, run by Professor Richard Wiseman, bright time of year for him, at the University of Hertfordshire, was launched 3 months ago in an attempt to find if universal humor exists. Researchers found different nationalities have varying senses of humor. Huh. While men and women do not always find the same joke funny. Double, huh? Just take your wife to see Laurel and Hardy. Out of 11 nationalities, Germans rated more jokes very funny than anyone else. That just means they're a bit unselective, doesn't it? They prefer puns that rely on wordplay. If I had that language, I would too. The Canadians have the weakest sense of humor, according to the survey. I'm liking the survey now. One of the favorite jokes in Germany was, why is television called a medium? Because it is neither rare nor well done. Fred Allen, 1949, wasn't it? Yeah, you don't want to hear these jokes. These would depress you terribly. All the jokes provided for the benefit of European laughter, all of them would depress you very, very seriously. Here's something we can find funny. Despite a continuing financial crisis that has forced a cutback of other programs at Los Angeles International Airport, the Airport Commission has agreed to extend the $9 million contract of a PR consultant. The mayor's political appointees agreed earlier this month to pay up to $1.5 million more to Winner and Associates. Despite the fact that the airport expansion plan the public relations firm was promoting has been put on hold. That's right. The very plan the PR firm was hired to promote is now no longer a plan. It is an ex-plan. Airport staff members were so reluctant to continue the association with Winner in the midst of the airport's worst financial crisis that they declined to sign the staff report recommending the extension. The staff was ordered earlier this month by the Airport Commission to reinstate the contract with a company run by Chuck Winner, a prominent supporter of the mayor. State agencies, ladies and gentlemen, should be exempt from truth in advertising laws, don't you think? Sure you do. Come on, admit it, you do. And now, even though it's Christmas time, or maybe because it's Christmas time,
we're so sorry.
Apologies of the week, ladies and gentlemen. It grows and grows. Bonzi Wells of the Portland Trailblazers has apologized to the team's fans, saying frustration over recent loss had prompted him to criticize the fans in Sports Illustrated. The article, which was published this week, depicts Portland fans as losing interest in the team because of its 12-11 record. He was quoted as saying of the fans, was Bonzi Wells, "They usually don't matter to us. They can boo us every day, but they're still going to ask for our autographs if they see us on the street. That's why they're fans, and we're NBA players." In a statement issued by the team, Wells apologized. "I should not have said them," I guess the statements, "and there is no excuse. I'm a professional and should have kept my chin up and not let my emotions take over. I took out my frustrations on the very fans that have supported me throughout my career. The fans are the most important part of this game, and without them, I wouldn't be where I am today." He's been missing the last three games with injuries, so I guess that's where he is today. And I don't know if he's blaming the fans for his injuries. The statement didn't. And Muslims are seething at CNN and MTV after they teamed up to surprise Afghan children with sexy skin-bearing photos of Jennifer Lopez and get their reactions on camera. In the segment aired on CNN Friday night, reporter Jason Bellini whipped out an American teen magazine featuring J-Lo, showed it to traditionally dressed Afghan teens, and asked, "What do you think?" The youngsters told Bellini that while J-Lo was, quote, "very beautiful," she would never be allowed to dress like that here because her outfit exposes her belly. Disgusted Muslim leaders said the interviews produced and edited by MTV and aired on CNN's Newsnight with Aaron Brown were disrespectful. Fumed Dr. Saeed Syed, General Secretary of the Islamic Society of North America, as well as president of the Duplicate Name Club, quote, "I'm surprised a CNN correspondent would not be sensitive to Muslim issues. He should have known better. You have to know what the limits are. That's why I think that all journalists should take courses in Islam 101. Said a CNN spokeswoman, "It was not Jason's intention to be disrespectful. CNN prides itself on its commitment to treat all cultures with respect." An MTV spokesman added, "There is absolutely no disrespect intended." No, why would MTV ever be the source of disrespect? That's a respectful channel, isn't it? MTV? Isn't that what their whole deal is? Mickey, well, I'll get to that later. I'll just say Mickey and leave it at that, and you figure it out. Ladies and gentlemen, it is a special moment. The new president, Hamid Karzai, has been sworn in. He's not president. He's a temporary leader of the country in Afghanistan, replacing Burhanuddin Rabbani, who was the head of the country, the legally recognized head of the country, all during the Taliban era. He was head of the Northern Alliance. Little USO traffic going over there to entertain American troops, Drew Carey and Wayne Newton in Kandahar to entertain the troops. It's a very special time in a very special place.
We swore in Karzai and we swore off Rabbani. For one day, maybe it's okay to be Afghani. The stockings are hung by the chimney with care. It's the only place to hang anything there. The gift has been given, the Taliban beaten. No reindeer will visit, they know they'll be eaten. Only Wayne Newton would come this far. 'Cause it's Christmas in Kandahar. We fought side by side with Uzbeki and Turker. We've shaved off the beard and thrown off the burqa. It's still a surprise when we look in the mirror and see standing behind us Geraldo Rivera. Santa's crossed off his list the land where we dwell. We've been naughty this year, and Muslim as well. Drew Carey went by in an army car. Must be Christmas in Kandahar. We've mastered the problem of trimming the tree. We've covered it with a fine coat of explosive debris. There's no way to drive, and no way to call. There's no stuff in the stores. There aren't any stores. And there isn't a mall. There's no Cathy Lee and no Charlie Brown. Just a couple of thousand Marines out on the town. Ramadan this year was strictly subpar. Now it's Christmas in Kandahar.
Just a Santa Claus.
It's just, it's frightening.
No, it's, no.
From the Beverly Hills Gun Gallery, which reminds you that if you're not free to buy a weapon for a loved one, then the terrorists have one. This is Blackwell, strictly from Blackwell. I am Blackwell. And I almost got the name of the show confused with my own name, which just shows you how stressful this time is. Of year can be, both for the retailer and for the woman, who I think is going to make a comeback as a customer. I don't know. I know a lot of people are hanging crepe. Is that? I know the only time I cared about crepe when it was hanging from the arms of my customers, you know, when they were trying to go sleeveless. But no, a lot of retailers... it's crepey arms. But a lot of retailers have been singing blue about the situation. We feel the woman is going to make a comeback because she's going to look at a closet and go, not again, please. So that is a way to look ahead and look up at the same time, which we feel is very important as we enter the wonderful world of 2002. And whoever dreamed we would get there. And we have two people who have, they have traveled with us into the gateway to 2002, and we will have good conversation today. Interesting, not an area we usually talk about, which is politics and what's going on in the world. But we have a couple of guests who are just so wired, so absolutely nailed and fastened and glued in every other way, connected to this, that we must talk about this. Dr. Harmon Cavendish is one of the world's great cosmetic surgeons in practice in several of the upscale communities in Southern California, including the city of Beverly Hills. And he does, I call him
Rancho Palos Verdes as well.
A magician with anesthetic, because what you wake up to is not what, you didn't dream of this. Dr. Cavendish, welcome.
Thank you.
Strictly from Blackwell.
Thank you, Mr. Blackwell. I got a view of what were the possibilities should I just start into this? Because do you want me to?
No. I want you to tell me.
Yeah.
Without me having to ask you, mm-hmm. which would, make me have to do a question.
Right.
Exactly what?
Okay.
Went down mm-hmm. when you got the message. And try to communicate, because this is what I am all about, is communication.
Okay. I felt that Osama bin Laden had cosmetic surgery to change his appearance.
Okay, good.
I am, as you acknowledged at the beginning of the broadcast.
No, because you asked. Yeah.
Fairly experienced in the field.
Okay, good.
And I wanted to make my experience available to the federal authorities, the FBI specifically.
Yeah.
To let them know.
Because they are the best.
This is what
Osama
might look like now.
Okay.
And
with
some proprietary software that I have, exactly the look that he might be affecting at the moment.
Okay, good. Because you are saying that this, you can visualize the Osama bin whatever
Laden.
Makeover mm-hmm. and just put it there in front of the people.
That's correct.
Who wear the guns and
with the bat,
very blousy uniforms. Mm-hmm.
And I'm here to tell you, Mr. Blackwell, I ran into a stone wall.
Unbelievable!
I could not find anybody who wanted to take my information to see. Obviously, he shaves his beard.
Okay,
everyone
good.
Has visualized that.
Yes. Yeah, yeah.
But there is a range of other looks he could have.
Okay.
Has he cut his hair? Has he dyed his hair?
Has he grown
other facial hair?
Has he
shaved it all?
Yeah.
Which, of course, would be my initial recommendation.
No, he has to shave.
You know, I went through these permutations in the software.
Okay.
I have visualizations of them.
Okay.
And the agency expressed it. They did not want my information, Mr. Blackwell. And could I just show a couple of these?
Please. No, because, we're on radio,
right.
So you got to tell what they would see.
No, I get you. This is, he's got a brush cut, which has been dyed.
Yeah.
I would say,
what
would you say that color is?
Strawberry.
Strawberry blonde.
Strawberry blonde.
He's wearing blue contacts. He's had...
Interesting.
Reabrasion of his skin just to bring out texture.
Yeah.
Because the Afghani, they're just, it's too featureless.
It's smooth, isn't
and
it?
And I defy anybody to say, I recognize that man.
No, you can't.
This is what I was trying to say to the FBI. He could be looking like this.
Yeah.
This is what you're looking for. Yeah. And you don't even know it.
They don't know it.
With blonde spikes.
No.
I don't think he has the technology, Mr. Blackwell, to accomplish this.
I don't think he has the cheekbones.
But I just did this.
No, I know.
You know, to see what it would look like. Yeah, yeah. And to me, it's startling.
Unbelievable. And we will get back to you and have better conversation with you even in a minute. But Dr. Petrosian is on the line, and he believes he has psychic knowledge of where Osama bin whatever is. Dr. Petrosian, it has been too long and not long enough.
Mr. Blackwell, thank you so much. Okay. I first of all have to say...
No. Yeah.
And you know that I mean this sincerely because I would not say it if I don't.
No,
just waste of time.
No.
That you can now call me doctor.
Okay.
I took online course in gemology.
I cannot believe it. D.G.
Doctor. You finally can call me doctor.
Okay.
I haven't been on your show in so long.
No.
I did,
and you were, and but we are in the wonderful world of now, and you were getting vibrations, you were getting signals.
You told me
you were getting signals about the whereabouts or the whereabout of Osama.
I told you that if you had a gem of some sort, Blackwell, my business is gems.
No, I know that.
By the way, if you've not sold the D-class emeralds yet,
don't tell me
you've got to get rid of them. They are a drug on the market.
You see, last year...
I get psychic vibrations, as you know, from gemstones.
From gemstones.
And if you have a gemstone... And you place it on your hand, and then you place your hand on
the phone.
I can get a reading from that, yes.
Okay, yes. All right, you see, because we felt that even if you just focused on getting a psychic picture of the gemstone and then worked from there backwards.
I don't believe he wears gemstones of any kind, but I'm getting a vibration.
Okay, good.
Of the jewel, the 14 carat, the 14 jewel,
the movement
of his wristwatch.
Okay, good. Because we know he likes.
And I'm getting a vibration that he is now in Pakistan. He's very definitely not in Afghanistan. He could be in Uzbekistan. He could be in Pakistan. He is definitely not, Mr. Blackwell, in Afghanistan.
He's not. He's in one of the other stands, or stands, as you say. Doctor, what would be a good look for him in Pakistan?
He would have definitely shaved the beard.
Okay, good.
He would have cut and styled the hair much as we have here. This is a...
Show this.
This is actually a Pakistani colleague of mine, a dermatologist.
This is the kind of look. I know him.
It's close to the neck.
Yeah.
It's close to the sides.
It's close.
It's, some would call it oily or greasy, but it has a definite style appearance to it.
Yeah.
And then... because his eyes are so recognizable, Mr. Blackwell.
They are so sensitive.
Tinted pink Gucci shades.
Okay, I was going to...
And I defy anybody in Pakistan to say, I know who that man is.
No. No. You look at this photo of me from about 10 years ago, Doctor.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Can you... I mean, is there a way to get back to that, do you feel?
Obviously, Mr. Blackwell, today we're better positioned to do it than we were 10 years ago when obviously this attempt was made. I would say yes.
Okay, good.
The state of the art is so advanced.
Okay.
We literally could make Osama bin Laden look like, I don't know, take your pick, Bert Convy.
No, I don't think so.
Donny Osmond.
Okay,
people who would just not...
Would not, no.
...get a second look in Afghanistan or Pakistan or Uzbekistan.
Yeah. He's not in Afghanistan, Mr. Blackwell. I can tell you that for a fact.
Okay, Dr. Petrosian.
I've gotten a vibration since I wasn't talking last time.
Yeah.
From a ruby... A ruby that he keeps in with his weapons.
A ruby.
A ring. A valuable ring.
A ruby.
Which he keeps with the chemical or biological
whatever the weapons.
He could be in
Pakistan.
Iran. But he is definitely not in Afghanistan, Mr. Blackwell. And,
interesting.
The gems don't lie.
The gems don't lie, but you know what? Neither does the clock. It tells the sad and awful and hideous and frightening truth about us all, except, Doctor, if you can work your magic with some anesthetic. But we must bid farewell to 2001, and 2002 beckons its arms wide open, and the rest of it the same. Until next year, Strictly from Backlump, bye-bye.
A merry little Christmas. Let your heart be light. Next year all our troubles will be out of sight. Have yourself a merry little Christmas. Make the Yuletide gay. Next year all our troubles will be miles away. Once again, as in olden days, happy golden days of yore. Faithful friends who were dear to us will be near to us once more. Someday soon we all will be together. If the fates allow. Until then, we'll have to muddle through somehow. So have yourself a merry little of your faithful friends who were dear to us will be near to us once more. Someday soon we all will be together. If the fate until then, we'll have to muddle through somehow. So have yourself a merry little Christmas now.
Merry Christmas.
Ladies and gentlemen, the relatives of those killed in the Oklahoma City bombing of the Murrah Federal Building are unhappy about the new federal program offering compensation to families of people killed in the attacks on the World Trade Center in New York. The survivors of the 168 people killed in Oklahoma City were not offered a compensation program like the one offered to the World Trade Center relatives' victims' relatives, which will give victims' families an average of $1.65 million. That's kind of minimizing what happened to the people of Oklahoma City, said the mother of a victim in Oklahoma City. The individual loss was just as great for us. Oklahoma City collected about $35 million in charitable donations, mostly to the Red Cross. Victims had to prove loss of income or other reasons for assistance to receive any of it, and much of the money was used for mental health counseling and medical care. Oklahoma City victims were left out when Congress passed a law that helps compensate American families who lost loved ones in terrorism in other countries. Lesson, of course, is lose a relative someplace where a lot of news organizations are headquartered. That would be my recommendation, ladies and gentlemen. I can't tell you anything more. I was in London last week, as I told you, and found myself at a soiree where I was able to say hello to a gentleman who said back to me,
"Thank you very much. Good to meet you. Hey, wasn't that a great event?"
Yep, and there's a photo to prove it. But this, don't judge me. It's the second president I've been photographed with. The first one was George Bush, a pair. So, you know, trying to be fair. But Bill Clinton this week, according to the New York Times, convened by telephone and in person a group of his closest aides to discuss how to bring back his reputation, how to revive his reputation, how to keep his reputation alive. Here's my part.
Shoot. Gee, it's hard to get a fire going. Why don't they print the instructions on these logs so you can see them when they're in the fireplace? Gee, my first Christmas since I became a celebrity. Who'd have thought I'd be celebrating it all alone? Oh, well, it's better than going over to Linda Tripp's house again. Oh, there we go. Well, at least I've got a nice warm fire, a comfy blanket, and a 5-gallon tub of rum raisin ice cream. That'll keep me... Oh, no. Company? The place is a mess. Just a second.
Surprise!
Larry King, Barbara Walters, Tom Brokaw, Regis Philbin, Ken Starr. Oh, my God. This is a girl's dream of Christmas.
From New York City, the Christmas capital of the world, welcome to the Monica Lewinsky Holiday Special, A Girl's Dream of Christmas. Ladies and gentlemen, one of the 10 most fascinating people of 1999, Monica Lewinsky.
Gee, my own announcer and my own apartment in New York City. This is a dream come true. You know, gang, last year at this time, the nicest place I got to hang out was a Four Seasons hotel. And that was only because I was under questioning. But what a year it's been. Partly because I got to make such great new friends. Like my first guest, a woman I can really trust when I talk to her about my most intimate thoughts and feelings. Because I know that she's taping. Miss Barbara Walters.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Hello, darling.
Hello.
Congratulations on the apartment. It looks divine.
It's pretty cool.
You know what people say to me about our two specials together?
This better not be about my lipstick.
No, it's just that folks are amazed how you seem to have come through all of this unscathed.
Oh, you know, there are a few scars.
Oh? Like what?
Well... When I moved into this apartment, I made them take out the sink.
Ooh, let's don't go there, can't we? But at this time of year, Monica, your life really is a Lewinsky wonderland.
Oh, man, does that sound like a cue?
Sleigh bells ring, folks wear glad rags. You've got your own line of handbags. The the season is cheered, the jokes disappeared. You're living a Lewinsky wonderland. Far away are the hearings, here to stay. Living in a Lewinsky wonderland. Oh, in the lobby you can build a snowman and pretend that he is Kenneth Starr. He'll say, can we bug you? You'll say, no, man.
So we'll just keep you sitting where you are.
Kenneth Starr!
Later on, what a sideline. You're the only guest on Nightline, making very smart sounds. You've lost 30 pounds. Living in a Lewinsky wonderland.
Miss Barbara Walters, happy holidays, everybody. So, Kenneth Starr.
So, Monica Lewinsky.
Here we are again.
Indeed. There's only one real difference.
What's that?
This time you're the one that's working.
Yeah, I heard you quit.
I didn't quite quit. Oh. It's just that, especially at this time of year, I wanted to spend more time with my family.
Oh, sure. That's what everyone in Washington says.
Now, Monica, I realize that most of what I say is self-righteous duck poop. But I really mean this. This is about somebody we all know or would like to know better. You better watch out. You better not lie. You better not pout. I'm telling you why. Santa Claus is coming to town. Oh, he's making a list. It's very complete. He knows who's been serving the president's meat. Santa Claus is coming to town. He knows when you've been sleeping. More important, he knows where. He knows if you've been bad or good. So at least pretend to care. Pretend to care. There's nowhere to run. Nowhere to hide. The big fat guy's got the law on his side. Santa Claus is coming to town, and he's really independent. Santa Claus is coming to town, to town.
What a good sport, Kenneth Starr. Thanks for stopping by. Talk about a big creep.
I heard that.
Uh-oh. Wow, isn't this fun? Man, I'm having such a good time. I think I'm going to go... what's the opposite of anorexic? Let's see. Ana means none. Rexic means, I don't know, eating. I'm going to go mucho rexic.
Hey, I heard there was a party here. I thought I'd bring some friends.
Hi, Monica.
And that's our final answer.
Oh, my God. Larry King, Tom Brokaw, and Regis Philbin. Oh, I didn't know you guys hung out together.
Well, normally we don't.
No, but Ted Turner gives me a limo whenever I'm in New York.
Ooh. And when a guy offers you a limo ride, you don't turn it down.
Depends on the guy. So, guys, I've been stuck all day in my apartment. What's it like outside?
What did you say?
I said, what's the weather like?
The weather where?
The weather outside.
That's what we were waiting for.
After you, Regis.
Oh, after you, Tom.
Larry?
Regis, you start. Oh, the weather outside is frightful.
And my show is so insightful.
It is.
Thank you.
The screen casts a lovely glow.
Mm-hmm.
Let it snow.
Let it snow.
Let it snow.
Let it snow already.
And we finally say goodnight.
Goodnight. The ratings go down, of course. But if you really hold me tight, Monica, my eighth wife will file for divorce.
She should.
This place is great for sharing.
While I go millionaireing. Let's just sit down and watch the show.
Right.
Let it snow.
Let it snow.
Keychain's coming. Let it snow. Let it snow already.
Hey, will you let it snow?
Let it snow.
If it doesn't snow after that, it just doesn't care.
Hey, Monica, just curious. How come you didn't invite Linda Tripp to be on your special?
Oh, I did, Larry. I just told her we were taping it at the Pentagon City Four Seasons.
Just for old time's sake.
That's right. She's probably there right now. Hi, Linda.
Monica, big millennium coming up. Yeah. Any special wishes?
Ooh, good question. Well, I'd like to see peace for all mankind, of course. And on a personal note, I wish everyone a new year without the two most dangerous bergs since the Titanic sank.
Mm, dangerous bergs?
Yeah. William Ginsberg and Lucianne Goldberg. Thank you.
Well, look, Monica, congratulations. You're a wonderful girl.
Thanks, Regis.
You inherited the Jewish girl's Christmas special from my friend Kathy Lee. And that whole thing of yours from earlier this year, it blew over.
Oh, I wish you wouldn't say that. Ladies and gentlemen, please help me thank three of the nicest guys I've met since I lost Secret Service protection, Tom Reese and Larry. Bye. Gee, it seems like we just started taping this show 17 and a half hours ago, and now it's almost over. This is a special time of year, and I really appreciate you guys sharing some of it with me. And if you'd like to check out my handbags, please go to my website, www.lipservice.com. Thanks to everyone who made this evening possible. Have a wonderful holiday season. And most important, follow your dreams. Good night, everybody!
A Girl's Dream of Christmas was recorded at the Kaufman Studios, Astoria, Queens, before an enhanced audience. Watch for the Monica Lewinsky Valentine special this February. It's just too Fox.
Well, that'll help his reputation, don't you think? Ladies and gentlemen, that concludes this edition of Le Show. The program returns next week at the same time with a review of life since 9/11 this year. Over these same stations, over NPR worldwide throughout Europe, on the USN 440 cable system in Japan, around the world through Armed Forces Network, on your computer whenever you want it at www.harryshearer.com and www.kcrw.com, on shortwave at WBCQ The Planet, 7.415 megahertz, around the country on XM Satellite Radio. And it'd be just like Bill Clinton's reputation being rebuffed, re-buffed. If you'd agree to join with me then, would you? Alrighty, thank you very much. The email address for this broadcast is lemail, L-E-M-A-I-L, at interworld.net. No attachments and no shoes, please. And hey, Philadelphia, thanks for sticking in there. If you did. The show comes from Century of Progress Productions and originates through the facilities of SAS, a satellite service of KCRW Santa Monica, a community recognized around the world as the home of the homeless.